For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, one God.
Overcome, let us adore Him.
Amen. Please be seated. I'm often taken up a little short when I hear what some people think a priest's life and ministry is really like. To be quite honest, this past week, the priest's life has been an awful lot of calling plumbers and cleaning the parish hall and fixing light switches and things like that. I sometimes think that we should have learned in seminary how to, I don't know, work on plumbing, or at least they should have taught us how to make bulletins on software with computers. But the life of a priest is really supposed to be something else. And if we look at what all the duties and responsibilities of a priest are, there's really one responsibility which outweighs them all. In fact, that one responsibility is the basis for every other thing that a priest is responsible to do. And that one thing is prayer. We are supposed to be prayer warriors. And it is our solemn duty as priests and ministers in the church to ensure that St. Paul's words are unceasingly fulfilled. That unceasing prayer should be offered to God. And to this end, the church has prescribed that all priests everywhere should keep the daily offices, beginning every morning and ending every evening with prayer. Before we celebrate the great liturgy of the Holy Communion, before we baptize, before we solemnize, before we bless, even before we visit hospitals or write sermons, we are to pray. So what is it that your priests are praying for you? St. Paul answers that question in today's epistle, where he says, "This is the reason I bow my knees before the Father." When I read that this past week, I loved the image that popped into my mind. I could see the great apostle himself kneeling down, maybe before a little cross, or maybe an altar, or even beside his bed mat in his tent, and pouring out his supplications to God. There on his knees, the apostle prays such a beautiful, intricate prayer recorded for us in this epistle, the essence of which is this: that you, the members of Christ's church, may be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that mean? What does it mean to be filled with the fullness of God? I personally think that's an essential question for our day, in our culture, in our time, in our town. I can illustrate just how essential it is by asking it in a slightly different way. Same question, different way. What does it mean to be truly evangelized? What does it mean to be saved? Because for St. Paul, the missionary apostle, evangelism was accomplished when the church was filled with the fullness of God. It strikes me that this is the opposite of our tendencies today. In a scientific-based culture, we tend to take things apart. We analyze all the pieces of a thing. We determine what is essential, and we reject everything else as unimportant. In our rush to define things, we often accept the most basic as the only important. Many people through the centuries have applied that same kind of thinking to the Christian faith. And after a long process, these scientific thinkers have boiled Christianity down to what they consider to be its essence, its one essential truth, oftentimes stated, misquoting St. Paul, "If you confess with your mouth that you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved." But if we put St. Paul into context, letting him speak for himself, then he would tell us again, indeed it is his constant prayer for the church everywhere, that his prayer was for fullness, not minimalism. He did not envision a church that subscribed to the minimum standard of getting to heaven by the skin of our teeth. St. Paul envisioned a church filled with Christians who were, as he put it, maturing and matured into the full measure of the stature of Christ. The emphasis for Paul was always on fullness. So faith in Christ was a full and plenteous thing. That word plenteous coming from Psalm 130 is one of my favorites. Redemption in the Lord is plenteous. It is full. It is overflowing. In prayers, Paul's prayer is a brief and helpful, though never intended to be exhaustive, explication of just what that fullness, that plenteousness looks like. First, St. Paul says that fullness of faith begins with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Here are the words from Scripture itself. Paul prays that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So the fullness of faith begins as a movement of the Holy Spirit in the interior life. And it is the work of the Spirit to renovate our hearts and our minds, strengthening us to bear the fullness of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is at work strengthening us so that we can bear the fullness of the gospel. Secondly, for St. Paul, the object of his prayers is that his people may know Christ Jesus. He writes, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. St. Paul does not pray for an easy believism. And we are wrong whenever we try to reduce St. Paul to modern sound bites and little platitudes. His Christianity was always more full, more rich, and more deep. He does not simply want people to make a profession of faith or to be baptized or to join the church. He prays that Christ may dwell in them, that Jesus Christ become all in all for all believers. Thirdly, according to Paul, we need to be strengthened in the inner man so that we may know the love of Christ. Listen to the words again. St. Paul prayed that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Not just to understand, but to know the love of Christ. Notice that the love of Christ is not some shallow, trivial thing. It's not a one-dimensional sort of emotional thing. The love of Christ is powerful. It is so all-encompassing and so transformative that before we can know it, we must have the Spirit strengthen us in preparation. In this prayer, I think that we glimpse what St. Paul thinks of an evangelized person. A truly evangelized person is someone who is filled with the Spirit of God. And that Spirit is at work fortifying the inner man with virtues and gifts for strength. The evangelized man is one who has been strengthened so that he can accept and receive the love of Christ, which overwhelms and remakes us into His image. Finally, the Christian man is the one making progress. Progress toward a full life and a full faith in love. St. Paul says, I pray all these things that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And I think in that there's a clear sense that St. Paul does not pray his people will be perfect. That's not what he's looking for. He prays that they will be ever striving toward fullness. A Christian never ceases to make progress in the faith. So what we have attained in our Christian life, wherever we are in that Christian life, if we're a newly formed Christian, if we are a young child, if we are mature in the faith, if we are an elder in the faith, wherever we are, whatever we have attained, it's not enough. Because there's always more, and that more is essential to the Christian life. We must gain the more until we are full. That's St. Paul's prayer for his people. And it has become my priestly prayer for everyone at Holy Trinity Church and everyone this ministry touches. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages and world without end.
Amen. Amen.